for reason.
Morning. Good morning. Before I release the youth, they're going to be in their own class and teaching this morning, which is awesome. A couple things. I just want to welcome back Darlene Nenny. Good to see you in the house of the Lord. And any of you who have been here for any amount of time know the impact that the Nennies had. Don recently passed away and is with the Lord now, but thinking back, Darlene, Bible school here, her teaching the Bible school, prophetic word that you gave over leadership 7 or 8 years ago that I'm walking in now. Amen? That I'm walking in now. At the time, I kind of put it on a shelf because you're like, but then as God started doing some things, then those things actually brought confidence. So God always brings confidence, even through the prophetic, amen? So good to have you here, Darlene. But it is an honor to have you here. Before I release the youth, a couple more things. Have you guys been keeping Ed Dunnington in prayer? We know we lost Kathy a couple of weeks ago. And want to mention a couple things. She headed up Psalms 91 ministry. We're going to keep that going. That's a very important ministry in our church and outreach to those who serve in the military. Amen? Man, God, we need a move of God in our military as well. It can be a very dark place in the military. A lot of people anti-God or whatever, but we're believing God for a powerful move in our military. Amen, too. And you know he's moving in people's lives there. You know there's believers. But troopathon.org, did you have that picture right here? Care packages for our heroes. You can go to troopathon.org, but what we want to do is we want to give a donation on behalf and honor of Kathy Dunnington. So there's some money in Psalms 91, so we're a few hundred dollars. We're going to take $100 of that. If anybody would like to give towards that in honor of Kathy Dunnington to troopathon.org, letting our military know that we care for them, amen, that we're praying for them, that we're believing God's protection over their life. You can go to that website, but if you want to give it, earmark it, put it in the box, meaning we have an envelope, you could earmark it to say for the troops or Psalms 91 or Troopathon. We'll make sure that it goes. We'll take all that monies together and we'll give in honor of Kathy. Amen? Isn't that awesome? Also want to mention, if you're a man here, would love to have you put it on your calendar on Saturday, January 22nd, here, we're going to have a Saturday men's retreat here at the church. And we're going to have it together. Well, they had the women's tea a few weeks ago. I said, well, come on, you know, we got to pick up the pace, guys, here. We got to do something. We're going to be doing that together with Word of, it's called, remember Ben and Kara Diaz, amen? They're going to bring up a bunch of their men from their men's group on that day, Word of Life in Mesa. And Ben Diaz is going to lead the worship. It's going to be all men worshiping together. That's going to be awesome. So we'll have some teaching, some worship. We're going to have a powerful move of God. I know we are. So January 22nd, it'll start around 9 or 10. We'll be out by 3. You don't want to miss it. With like men, being with men and worshiping with men. Doesn't that sound awesome? It does. Yes, the next one. Amen. So anyway, we'll do, what's that? Okay, so Ibby is also collecting monies right now, like if you have loose cash in the jar out there, right? If you got loose hundreds, 50s, 20s, I'm just saying, right? So thank you for that. So also there's, if you want to put loose cash, but if you want to get credit for it, you need to put it, earmark it and put it in the back box. Amen. Okay, we are going to release the youth now. Amen. Lord bless the youth and their own little service today. We thank you for them, blessing them, strengthening them. Amen. Amen. So it seemed a little bit quiet. You know, people doing gatherings, Christmas parties, eating way too much sugar, right? Boy, oh boy. And then you get a little tired in the morning. But you're all here with me this morning, aren't you? You're alive and well, doing well. We've been on prayer. This is our fourth fourth week on prayer. And I was transparent. The reason why I got started on this was praying for darling Nenny, who, I'm just sorry, Darlene, going to say that she was in the hospital for a couple days. And I thought, man, she's going to be there a while. And then within a couple days, right, Darlene, you were released. And I remember then we had been praying for her, and I was shocked. I mean, here we're praying, and then I was shocked that she's released from the hospital. And I just started resonating in my spirit, you know, about God answering prayer, that God wants to hear our prayers. Sometimes things can happen in our lives. It can discourage people, or even if you're not discouraged, somehow it can your confidence that he hears our prayers or answers them can be waylaid by the enemy. And so Lord started speaking to me about how he wants to hear our prayers. He loves to hear the prayers of his saints. Amen. God still answers prayers. God still moves in his people. God is still working in his body. Amen. By the grace of God, he is still, amen, saving people, delivering people, healing people. Amen. He's setting people free by his grace, by that gift. Real quick, as we go into this, one thing I don't want people to think is, okay, we're talking about prayer, so we've got this formula. It's not a formula. It's a relationship with him. But there's certain truths that we can apply to our lives. See, Moses brought the law, but it said Jesus Christ brought grace and truth. And I've said it many times, as I've learned over the years, you could be born again, on your way to heaven, but what you believe has everything to do with what's going to happen in your life. Everything, what we believe, can propel us into God's goodness, or it can keep us back by things that we believe. So what we believe. So as we talk about prayer, we're talking about certain principles and things to look for. Even Paul talking about those things. Amen? Today being our last day on prayer, part four, I'm going to go through peruse a little bit the first three sessions that we went through. I want to hopefully get through those, okay? Amen? Remember, we started out and we've talked about, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. This is James 1. This is just verse 5. I know I've got verses 5 through 8, but just verse 5. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Amen? And we began by talking about how we need wisdom today like never before. We need wisdom today like never before. See, God doesn't want the church or you and I walking in any type of confusion. Amen? He wants us to see things as they are in clarity. It's his wisdom that coming from the Holy Spirit, by the way, that already lives in you, that already you have that availability. Amen? It's just releasing those things. It's releasing that wisdom in our lives. The wisdom of the world is always contrary to the gospel. It's always contrary to the truth. See, the man's wisdom, yes, it can do great things that we take advantage of. I've talked about it. Going over a bridge is awesome. Man designing that. Man creating that. Amen? But man can only do so much. Man can't heal the heart of man. Man cannot wash man's sins away. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can do that. Amen? So the scripture that says the foolishness of God, which there's no foolishness, but it's making a point, makes man's greatest wisdom look non-existent. Amen? Non-existent. We talked about being resolute in our prayers. We're talking about that first week. Praying in one hand, we talked about, it's easy to start doubting the next day or the next minute. Talking about when we're praying, being resolute, saying, Lord, I'm going to stand on that thing. I'm not going to allow the enemy to steal my answered prayer by talking opposite of that. Praying for victory, praying for family in one hand, and then the next day start saying, man, nothing's going to change. Nothing's going to happen. The enemy loves to hear those things because he loves to come and with that profession, start planting lies. Start bringing discouragement. Right? Amen? So on one hand, it says, you to understand, John 1:17 says, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So it's nothing to do with our salvation, has nothing to do with God, that we belong to Him or on our way to heaven. It's talking about taking those tools. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. So believing the truth in God and declaring the truth, amen? Declaring the truth of Him answering prayer. These truths that He puts in our lives, He makes them evident, right? Renewing our mind. See, God gave us a brand new spirit. He's given us a brand new spirit, but renewing the mind to what the kingdom of God, how it works, what it looks like, how we operate in that, how we become successful. We talked about it. We have battles, but I like to look at it this way. I don't just go from battle to battle to battle. What we say, we go from victory to victory to victory. Amen. If the battle belongs to the Lord and we belong to Him, how can the victory not be ours? Amen? Sometimes it does feel like we're getting bumped and bruised. I get it. Sometimes it's difficult to stand against that, the things that would come against us. But knowing as we pray for victory in our lives, we just keep standing and say, Lord, the victory is mine. The victory is mine. The enemy hates hearing that out of our mouths. It drives him away. Resist the devil and he will flee. What's one of the biggest ways we resist Him is what comes out of our mouth. We've talked about it before as Adam and Eve were in the garden, right? It's perfect. And it only took words by a serpent to get them to give up everything. They had everything. They experienced everything. They saw everything. They were fellowshipping with God in the cool of the day, and the serpent was able to deceive them simply by words. Don't tell me words aren't powerful. They have everything to do with our success in the kingdom of God. It has everything to do with the success in the kingdom of God. I don't know how many times I've had to pray or say things opposite of how I felt. And as I've learned, as I've grown, as I mature in Him, my flesh, my emotions start lining up with the truth of God that I'm declaring. Telling emotions, no, you're not going to have your way. You're not going to rule this roost. You're not going to be allowed to be manipulated by the enemy to walk and to declare things that are opposite of grace and truth. Amen? Amen. I don't even know if I'll get to today's portion of it. This is good stuff. This is good stuff. Ephesians 4:15 says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things unto Him who is the head, Christ. The God speaking to us, He's speaking to us in truth and love, amen? He's always got the best for us in mind. Really, He does. He's not looking to, we have to say that, He's not looking to hurt anybody. He's not looking to teach you a lesson. I'm telling you, life will teach you a lesson. Reaping what you sow will teach you a lesson. He's looking to heal you. He's looking to deliver you. He's looking to fill you with joy and strength, amen? That's what God's looking to do in yours and my life. The world needs to see that, by the way. They don't need to see religion, amen? They need to see people where God's truth, His grace, working in their lives. It's amazing sometimes being around people, you don't even have to say anything, and they'll say, there's something different. And then God will give that opportunity to declare His goodness and His grace. Amen. You still with me this morning? Amen. We talked about in that week one, still not murmuring and complaining. 1 Corinthians 10, 10, 11 says, nor grumble as some of them did. Who were some of them? They were the Israelites in the desert, right? In the wilderness. As some of them did and were killed by the destroyer. I said, well, who's the destroyer? Well, we know in John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that you would have life and have it abundantly. I'm telling you, if there's areas of your life that are being destroyed, and you feel like they're being destroyed, it is not God. Satan would love to have you think it's God. It's the enemy. It's the enemy that destroys. God brings life, and He brings it more abundantly. Amen? And what happened with the Israelites in the wilderness, as God would do miracle after miracle, they would turn around and just grumble and complain and releasing the power of the enemy in their lives. Say, Lord, we're not of those people. Amen? Our words are releasing life, abundant life, amen, abundant life. We pray and declare the opposite. That was, you know, not murmuring, complaining. The next thing is we pray and declare the opposite of what the enemy is saying. I love this in 1 Samuel. Remember we talked about 1 Samuel 2, 1 through 4. In this case, I just have verse 1. Then Hannah prayed. This is the mother of Samuel, the prophet. Then Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth speaks boldly against my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation." The benefits of salvation. Not only the saving of our souls, amen, his healing, his deliverance, his freedom from depression, his freedom from disease and sickness, his healing of my heart, amen. The world bruises our hearts and he brings healing. Him, the healer of broken relationships. That's our God. She realized after the enemy had been tormenting her and she had this son, Samuel, who at that time became a deliverer for Israel. It's a shadow of Jesus becoming the final deliverer of all mankind. And so she was declaring, "I had this son, so you know the victory is mine." Well, the son has already come. He was already born of a virgin. He already lived a perfect life. He already died on the cross. He's already at the right hand of the Father. So the victory is already mine. We can speak boldly against the enemy in areas of our lives. We can tell the enemy to shut his mouth, amen? Tell him to go bother somebody else that'll listen. But it won't be me, amen? I'm not going to listen. Amen and amen. And then part two of that, we started a very powerful thing, praying with thanksgiving. Thankfulness is confessing of who he is. Hebrews 13:15 in the Amplified Version says, "Through him, therefore, let us at all times offer up to God a sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of lips that thankfully acknowledge and confess and glorify his name." Confessing he is my Savior. Confessing he is my deliverer. Confessing he's my provider. Thanking him. Amen. Thanking him. Hallelujah for what he's doing. Confession of who he is. Also, thankfulness is remembering what he has done. Something very powerful in our lives is remembering the times in the past that God has been with you. Reminding yourself, encouraging yourself in the Lord, as King David did during a difficult time when the men that he was with, that he was leading, all of a sudden wanted to stone him. And it says that he encouraged himself in the Lord. Amen? So he had to remember all those times that God, up to that point, he had slain the giant. Amen. He had slain the giant. So he went back and said, "Hey, Lord, I remember all these times you've been with me. You've never forsaken me. He's always been there." So he encouraged himself. Remembering what he has done is powerful in our lives. Amen. Amen and amen. Thankfulness is saying, "I trust you for today and tomorrow." 1 Thessalonians 5. 16 and 17 and 18 says, "Rejoice always." It says, "Rejoice always." Amen. "Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." I have learned in my prayers, and I mentioned it when I taught this in 2 weeks, on week two of this, or part two, is a lot of my prayers now are, "Thank you, Lord, for this prayer answering. Thank you, Lord, that the answer is already coming. Thank you, Lord, that that individual that needs you, Father, I thank you that they are coming to the Lord. Thank you, Father God, that you have healed my body, Lord. I don't care what I see now. I thank you that you have healed my body in Jesus' name. Lord, I don't care what I'm struggling with right now, sin-wise, in my flesh. I thank you that all my sins have been washed away by the blood of the Lamb." Amen? All my sins have been washed away by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Thanking him for that. Instead of being sin conscious, being righteous conscious, that he's the one who shed his blood for my sins, and I am only righteous through his sacrifice, and none of the sacrifices that I would want to make can make me more holy in his presence. Thankfulness. Now I end up thinking, "Thank you, Lord, for that answered prayer. I don't know when it's going to come, but you do. It's for sure going to arrive because you still answer prayer in Jesus' name. And Lord, if there's things I need to change in my life, you'll show me. I thank you for that too, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for making me a better husband. Lord, thank you for making me a better friend. Lord, thank you for making me a better pastor. Whatever the case is, Lord, thank you. You're doing that work. He does that work. Thankfulness is powerful. The enemy hates thankfulness. He hates it. Absolutely hates it. If you think about the Israelites who were in the desert, in the wilderness, and you've heard me mention this, they could have been at their destination, the promised land, in 11 days. Think about that. But Moses, instead of that, Moses had to lead them through the desert for 40 years. Where all of them, age 20 and above, didn't enter the promised land. They died. All the miracles they saw, but they could never be thankful, ever. For short periods of time, from wanting to stone Moses, can you believe that? Who brought them after spending 430 years in bondage to the Egyptians and seeing God open the Red Sea, and they're shouting and singing, and Miriam has got her tambourine out, and then right after that, complaining with no food. Thankful for you and I because of grace. Because of the Holy Spirit that lives within us, amen? You and I are not in danger, right, of being killed by the Lord or the enemy coming in, amen? Living in this new covenant where when I do struggle or when I do fall short, that he is there to say, get up and keep going. I love you. Son or daughter, I love you. Talking to a young man a couple weeks ago and learning about grace, he said, you know, I used to struggle. And he says, and when I would struggle, I would say, well, what's the use? If I'm going to sin, I might as well sin good. Might as well just get this out of my system. But see, because that was where the enemy was lying and saying, hey, your fellowship has been separated from God. You've got this sin you're struggling with. I'm mad at you. Or I'm looking at you differently now. I don't accept you like I did before today, like it was the first time that person had struggled, right? But that's the enemy. Who's the accuser of the brethren? Enemy, amen? But listen to that individual say, hey, but I've learned that when that happens, I just get up and dust off my chin, my face, whatever scraped up, and say, thank you, Jesus, for giving my sins and moving forward. Your fellowship has not been broken. It hasn't been broken. Even in that struggle, your fellowship with him has not been broken unless the untruths of the enemy can convince you that it has been. That somehow you've got to come up with some penitence, a list of things you've got to do to make up for it. Only the blood of Jesus can wash sins away. God loves it when we just say, Lord, I'm applying the blood. Lord, I am washed. My sins are washed away. Lord, I still have struggles. I know I'm learning to be dead to sin. You can say that. But your standing with the Lord has not changed. That's what gives us our confidence. That thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you right now. Father, thank you for thanksgiving. Thank you for your Holy Spirit being here. Thank you for encouraging people by your Spirit, Lord. Encouraging people. Lord, we thank you that you're healing bruised hearts. We thank you that you're delivering people from lies of the enemy that keeps them bound, that keeps them from being confident in their faith with the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for breaking those things right now in Jesus' name. I tell you what will do that is thanksgiving. Amen, a spirit of thanksgiving. Hallelujah, Father. We are thankful to you, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you applied the blood, Father God, for all of my sins in Jesus' name. And now you're sitting at the right hand of the Father making intercession for me. Hallelujah! Making intercession for you in Jesus' name. Amen. Simply by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony that he is my Savior. His blood has set me free. And we do that in thankfulness, man, that you walk out of those things that keep you in chains. With thanksgiving and saying, Lord, I am free only by the blood. There's nothing in your flesh that can make you right with God. Nothing you can do in your own strength, your own righteousness that'll make you right with him, that'll make him pleased with you. None of it. I don't care if you're gifted, your talents, what you can do. I don't care if you can speak in tongues. I don't care if you have the work, if you can work miracles. Only the blood of the Lamb can make you right before him. Hallelujah. The grace of the Almighty God, setting the captive free. The message of grace is the only thing that'll set the captive free. The message that he loves you, that he paid the price, is the only way to be confident in God. You'll never be confident if you're not walking in his grace. You'll always be looking for something to help you tip the scales. Lord, I've got to tip the scales somehow. I'm struggling, so I've got to find something to do that'll help tip the scales in my favor. That's called dead works. Only applying the blood of the Lamb, only being washed by his blood, amen, is the only way to have favor with God. Grace, unmerited favor. Saints, I was talking with Pastor Lee a couple of weeks, and in this world, man, you've got to constantly remind yourself of the grace of God. The flesh won't remind you. It reminds you of the opposite. If you're not careful, your own emotions will trick you. Your own mind will trick you. This thing of grace is contrary to everything in society, number one. Second is it's contrary to what the flesh would think would bring righteousness. You're telling me that believing that a man died 2,000 years ago on a cross, was raised from the dead, is at the right hand of the Father, the creator of heaven and earth. You're telling me if I believe in that sacrifice, my sins are washed away, that I'm accepted? I'm telling you that's exactly what it is. Nothing less and nothing more. And with that, you get the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. And with that, you get a teacher telling you things, showing you things. With that, Jesus says, be of good cheer. In this world, you'll have trouble, but be of good cheer. I've overcome this world. That's because, how? Because he lives in me. The power, the creator. A piece of heaven dwells in me. Amen. Where do you go when you don't even know where your notes are now? Come up here and help me, Pastor Lee. Amen. You know, what I love about the book of John that we were going through is, and it is Christmas time, and you that have been here on Wednesday will have already heard this, but Jesus born in a manger. And with some of these good shows that have been out lately showing Jesus the miracles on the earth and everything, right? He did mighty, mighty works on the earth, amen? Healing the sick, living a perfect life. But realizing that that's not what Jesus looks like right now. We were reading how John the apostle, with that 3.5-year ministry that Jesus had on earth, he was with Jesus. He was the disciple who he said whom Jesus loved. So he saw his glory on the earth. But then when he saw him in Revelation 1, he saw a whole different Jesus. It said he fell as a dead man. The glory of God was so bright he couldn't even look at it. The power, the anointing, the glory of Jesus is nothing what we see on TV. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but that's not how Jesus looks at all. You read that Revelation 1, his hair is like white, like light. It says his eyes are like fire. It says his feet are like bronze in a fire, man, just glowing. It said he had the brilliance of like the sunlight. Right, looking at the sunlight, you can't look at it. He saw Jesus in all his glory. And I tell you, that's the glory. A piece of that glory is what lives in us now. It's not a piece of this Jesus on the earth. He came in humbleness and weakness to be a sacrifice for us. But he is raised and sitting in glory right now in heaven. Amen? That's what he looks like right now. And a piece of that lives in you and I. Amen? That's the power that you and I have inside of us. Victorious power inside of us. Do you love him today? Victorious. He was sown in weakness that you and I could be raised with him in power. We don't have our glorious body, the body that we're going to have, right? Paul says we don't know what it's going to look like, but we know it's going to be like his. Could you imagine the glory, the body we're going to have in heaven? And just a piece of that now, sealed in us, the Holy Spirit. And that's what has all the wisdom, the strength, the weakness in this flesh. Don't let it convince you that's you, that's your weakness. No, the Holy Spirit in you, that's the power, that's the strength. That's the opportunity when you're feeling weak, saying, hey, I'm sorry. The Holy Ghost that's in me says, enemy, shut your mouth. I'm victorious in him regardless of my flesh or my emotions tell me. God is doing a work inside of me because he lives in me. And I'm allowing him through truth to grow me in him, to strengthen him, to be strengthened in him. Hallelujah. We have this vessel of weakness of flesh. Amen. Paul talking about it, that in my flesh, that's where sin dwells. And that because of the Spirit that lives in us, we're dead to sin. Meaning we don't have to obey its wants and desires. You know, we have, if I have it in my notes, but, you know, we have this flesh. We take care of it. It's okay. Paul says, hey, we nurture the flesh. There's desires of the flesh that are okay. I you know, eating a good steak, amen, Frank? We take care of our flesh. It's not a thing of hating your flesh. Paul says, no, you nourish it. He says, who hates his flesh? That's not the key, hating your body. No, not at all. We take care of it, right? We need it. This is how we get around. Regardless if you like it or not, this is how you're getting around. For a short period of time. But it's the light, the fire inside of you that is perfect and holy. It's to be your guide, amen, through the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God illuminating. That is our light. This flesh, because we're dead to sin. This flesh is never going to say, yep, let's go do God's will. It's dead. But the spirit man in me and the renewing of my mind and telling my emotions, no, you'll do what I say. You'll do what I say. You'll do what the Word of God says. You'll respond the way that the Word of God is teaching me to respond. That's what coming into maturity is. Amen? Amen. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for that spirit of thanksgiving in this season. We're a season that can be very stressful for people. Can you? Talking to a person this past week who was just saying, I hate the holidays. Hate the holidays. Well, it's a lot of times it's stress for people. An expectation for gifts or an expectation around maybe being around family that's never been, where it's never been good to be around or whatever. There's many different reasons. But focusing on him who was born of a virgin, amen? Celebrating the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords coming to this earth. Part three, I'd mentioned we live in an age of deceivers and imposters more than ever before. We really do. Matthew 10, 16 and 17 says, listen carefully, this is Jesus. I am sending you, if you remember I spoke this about this last week, listen carefully. I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. So be wise as serpents. You hear that? Wise as serpents. If you go back to Genesis 3, the most cunning individual at that time on earth was the serpent, it said. It says to be wise as serpents. Does that mean we better strap up our boots and you better get in some type of school and figure that out? No, that's through the Holy Spirit that's in us. It's to make us to know that there's an enemy out there that we're fighting against, that there is a God of this world. Little g, what it be, right? Little g. He has an expiration date of him being the little g of this world. And you and I being citizens of heaven, see, we know that. We know that the enemy's trying to set traps. How's he set traps? It's with his lies, his manipulation, trying to get at us through people. Trying to get at us through the government, I'm sorry to say, but true. And others be trying to get to the believers. But see, we're wise as serpents. We know what he's up to. We can see through his ploy. Amen? And it says, an innocent as doves. Amen? We're wise, but it doesn't mean we're walking in the ways of the world. Hallelujah. Now, we're wise to the world, but we're not walking in this world as the world does. We're innocent as doves through the Holy Spirit, through the blood of the Lamb, having no self-serving agenda. Beware of men whose nature it is to act in opposition to God. Are we seeing a lot of that today? Wow. For they will hand you over to the courts and flog you in their synagogues. And we talked about it last week, man. We're seeing people being handed over to the courts for standing up for righteousness. A few years ago, I'd hear about it, but I just didn't do anything. You know, you think it's just something on the side. But now it's becoming more and more prevalent, so the church is waking up to it and saying, hey, we the people, amen? We the people. If we're going down, we're going down with a fight. But thank God we're not going down. The lights are being turned on. I don't want to go down that path right now, but that's truth. Be wise as serpents. So I said wolves look to deceive and serpents look to entice. And I mentioned in Genesis 3:6, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was desirable to make one wise. Wow. You think about that. Were they not wise before? Did they not have everything they needed in the garden? Somehow the voice of the enemy, that serpent, said, you're missing out on some hidden wisdoms. You're missing out on some hidden wisdoms. So she was enticed to eat that fruit. You know, you can become successful in this country without God. If you work hard enough, if you're focused, if you're consistent, if you're talented, doesn't mean that you've got wisdom at all. This means you may have the wisdom of this world. It doesn't mean you don't have wisdom, because Proverbs 10:22 says, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich. And he adds no sorrow with it. I love that scripture. I didn't write that. He did. Rich meaning what? You guys know if you've been here a while, a full supply. Full supply. A full supply. The blessing of the Lord gives a full supply. And he adds no sorrow with it. See, the ways of the world, you can gain everything in this world, but there's sorrow with it. See, when you do things your way, it can cost you. People that'll say, I'm reaching this pinnacle, and they will give everything to get there. They'll give up families. They'll give up relationships. They'll give up everything for the world's wisdom to reach something that at the end doesn't satisfy. With our God, he adds a blessing to our life, and there's no sorrow with it, because he's the one that's bringing the blessing. He's the one that's supplying the need. He's the one that's opening the doors. He's the one that's making it happen. Amen? And there's no sorrow with it. Joy. The world's way says you got to pay the cost. Some of us have been there in the past. Don't go there, but you know, the world's way is to be successful. There's a cost to pay. I tell you what, that cost is not worth it. It's not worth it. But with him, he adds no sorrow through it, because we operate in his wisdom. Because he's the one that opens the doors. He's the one that's blessing the work of my hands. Amen? He's the one that's giving me the wisdom how to spend the money I have. He's the one that's telling me to be a giver when everything else in the world says you better not be a giver. Amen? His kingdom works opposite of the world. When things are going rough, or the economy looks like it could be tough, I've learned that might be the time that you need to be a giver more than ever. Sowing and reaping. The ways of God are always opposite of the ways of the world. The wisdom of man, because see, the wisdom of man, it's up to you and you alone. But with the grace of God, saying, thank you, Lord. You're leading me, you're guiding me, you're blessing me, you're providing my needs, amen. You're providing the finances, you're helping me, you're keeping my car running, amen, supernaturally. He's providing for new cars. I've determined that as a couple months ago, as things, you hear bad news. It's hard to listen to that news a lot, isn't it? But listening to that, I've determined not listening to all the bad news and determined to be a giver more than ever. opposite of what the world says, opposite of what my mind can tell me, my emotions. I decided to be a giver more because you cannot out-give the Lord. That is the truth. You can't out-give the creator of the universe. I'm telling you, you can't out-give him. There's no way. When you do that with that motive, saying, Lord, I'm going to be a giver. I don't want to become part of the world's stingy system. Lord, if you got a love of money, here's the thing that I've learned through being a getting, I'm not old, but, you know, have lived for a while. If you struggle with love of money, start giving. It'll break it right off you in Jesus' name. I guarantee you. As you... the Lord loves that. He loves a cheerful giver. He loves people saying, Lord, I'm going to do opposite of man's wisdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You remember Solomon's dream? You remember that God said, what can I do for you? Could you imagine having that dream? And he said, I want wisdom and knowledge to rule your people. And what did God say? Because you've answered this way, everything else is yours. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. I'm not going to get even to part four today. That's okay. You know what? When we put our hearts and minds towards God's wisdom, saying, Lord, thank you for taking care of me. Thank you for revealing yourself to me. Thank you for leading and guiding me. Thank you, Lord, that you never leave me or forsake me. It's funny how he takes care of all that other stuff. He takes care of all that other stuff. Let me see that script. I'm going to go down. I'm going to pull one out of a little bit down in my notes, John, if I can find it. You guys with me still? All in. Amen. Matthew 6, the one, it's Matthew 6, 31, 34, John, I'll give you a second. Matthew 6, 31 through 34. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow worry about its own things. Sufficient is for the day. Sufficient for the days is its own trouble. Amen. Knowing he's got the future in his hand. Amen. What's it saying is just pursue his wisdom. Pursue the Lord. Pursue knowing him. Pursue what he has for you. Amen. And I'm telling you, it says that he takes care of these things. It's different now because we need more than just clothing or food. You got to have a car in today's world, don't you? You got to have shelter to do anything in the kingdom. You've got to have some money. I'm sorry, you got to have it. It's okay to have money. It's when money has you, amen? The kingdom of God needs to have money. We have money for the light bills here, amen? Those who give and tithe. It's okay to have money. But I've come to, when I said, I don't worry about those things. See, a lot of times people will just worry about those things, and that's as far as they can see. This rent, or this or that, things that are real. But when you start focusing on him saying that he knows what your needs are and that he'll take care of it, he removes those blinders, and you can see a whole new world that God has for you, amen? Where you don't live your whole world just saying, how am I going to make it? He doesn't want us living that way, by the way. Because you'd never get anywhere beyond that. And there's a lot of people that don't go beyond that. Not you and I, amen? Seek ye first his grace, his mercy, his love, walking in thanksgiving, amen? Walking in his goodness, declaring his goodness, rejoicing in his goodness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. Do you love him today? Father, we worship and bless you this morning. As the worship team comes, amen. John, I'm also going to drop down to the first one from Proverbs 1:1-5, and then I'll do it. I just want to read these few Proverbs to you. Amen? Proverbs 1:1-5, and the Good News Translation. The gospel is good news, isn't it? The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David and king of Israel. Here are Proverbs, or you could say, here's the word of God that will help you recognize wisdom and good advice and understand sayings with deep meanings. It's an understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's revealed everything to us. Amen? Everything through Jesus Christ has been revealed. He's given us everything. He's not holding back on you. Sometimes believers will get in so much into symbolism, but he's fulfilled everything. Christ was the fulfillment of so many of the Old Testament symbols. Amen. Here are Proverbs that will help you recognize wisdom and good advice and understand sayings with deep meanings. They can teach you how to live intelligently and how to be honest, just, and fair. Hallelujah. They can make an inexperienced person, listen to this, they can make an inexperienced person clever, the Word of God, and teach young people how to be resourceful. Boy, we need some resourcefulness, don't we? These Proverbs can even, or the Word of God, these Proverbs can even add to the knowledge of the wise and give guidance to the educated. Amen? The wisdom for everybody. Proverbs 2:6-7. It is the Lord who gives wisdom. Saints, it is the Lord who gives wisdom. From him come knowledge and understanding. He provides help and protection for those who are righteous and honest. Who's a righteous and honest in Christ? Amen? The righteous. The ones that are honest saying, yeah, I know Jesus is the only way. Protection. It says he provides help and protection. You hear that, saints? And protection. How does that work? Saying, Lord, I believe your word. You are my protection. You are my deliverer. Lord, you protect my home. You protect me in my car. You're protecting my life from the lies of the enemy. Proverbs 3, I'm going to read a few of these real quick, okay? And we'll wrap it up. Happy is anyone who becomes wise. Hallelujah. It says, happy is anyone who becomes wise. The Word of God says that God made Jesus Christ to be wisdom itself. Our wisdom coming through him. Happy is anyone who becomes wise, who comes to have understanding. There's more profit in it than there is in silver. It is worth more than it is worth more to you than gold. Wisdom is more valuable than jewels. Nothing you could want can compare with it. Hallelujah. Wisdom offers you long life. How many in here want long life? It says wisdom offers you long life. As well, listen, as well as wealth and honor. Did you hear that, saints? Wisdom offers you long life. If wisdom through God is offering that to me, then I'm taking. I'm receiving. How about you guys? If he's offering it, then I'm going to receive it. Amen. See, wisdom offers you long life as well as wealth and honor. Wisdom, verse 17, can make your life pleasant and lead you safely through it. Even when Paul was in prison, what he say? Rejoice in the Lord always. I say rejoice. You see, we're saying the joy of the Lord is my strength while he was in a prison cell. Amen. 17 again. Wisdom can make your life pleasant and lead you safely through it. Those who become wise are happy. Wisdom will give them life. The Lord created, verse 19, the Lord created the earth by his wisdom. By his knowledge, he set the sky in place. Verse 20, his wisdom caused the rivers to flow and the clouds to give rain to the earth. 21, this is like the Lord, it says, my child. This means this is the Lord speaking to you. Put your name here. My child, hold on to your wisdom and insight. Never let them get away from you. They will provide you with life, a pleasant and happy life. You can go safely on your way and never even stumble. You will not be afraid when you go to bed, and you will sleep soundly through the night. Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. You will not have to worry about sudden disasters. such as come on the wicked like a storm. The Lord will keep you safe. He will not let you fall into a trap. Amen. Can we stand up together? Father, we thank you. We thank you for wisdom through Jesus Christ being ours. Amen. How about you believe that? Do you believe that, saints? I'm not saying there's not struggles, but it's only his wisdom that gets you through it. It's only understanding not only grace, but Jesus came to bring grace and what? And truth. So, Father, we thank you for the revelation of truth today. Father, thank you for every heart that's here. Father, I pray that the seed that you want planted, the things that you are saying to each heart, Father God, lands on good soil. Father, I pray that hard hearts would be softened in the name of Jesus. Father, Lord, I pray with those who have walls, Father God, because of experiences in life, Lord, those walls would come down right now, and the healing balm of Gilead, amen, would bring strength and healing to that heart. In Jesus' name, I declare it. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank that the enemy, Father, is a liar. Jesus says that he's a liar and that he's the father of all lies, Father God. So we thank you for revealing the truth of wisdom in our lives today. Father, we thank you that we're a group of people saying, everything you have for me, Lord, I want to give out to the world. Father, I want every blessing that you have for me, Father God, in this life. Father, we thank you that you bless us. Father, we thank you that you strengthen us, Father. And we receive of that. And Lord, as the world needs to see that, Father. So we thank you for that today. Thank you for a group of wise people, as wise as any serpent. As wise as any serpent. As he reveals the lies of the enemies. So that you and I can say, ain't buying that anymore. Uh-uh. That no longer will have authority or power over my life. I know who I am in Christ. So we thank you for that this morning, Father. We thank you for that this morning. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, meaning you've never said, Lord, I believe you're God. Jesus, you're God. I believe that you died for my sins. And that you rose from the dead. I believe you're God. If that's you, that after the service is over, would you come up? And I want to pray with you. The most important decision, the first step of wisdom in your life is saying, I'm going to give my life to Christ. You can't have any godly wisdom until that happens. You're outside the scope of his wisdom. There's that chasm that separates you from God. But you know what? The cross fills that in. The cross makes a way. Your first step of wisdom is saying, Jesus, I want you to come into my life. I want to make you Lord of my life. I want to be born again by his Spirit. If that's you, come and see me. Also, if you need prayer, someone to agree with you in prayer in a situation, please come up here. We want to pray with you. We want to agree with you. Amen. We want to agree with you in that. So, Father, we thank you for that this morning. We thank you for this Monday, Father, as we walk in wisdom. Thank you for your wisdom on Monday, on Tuesday. Lord, thank you. Monday's our favorite day of the week because of the wisdom of God. Hallelujah! What's Monday mean? Nothing. Another day to walk in his grace and wisdom. And so we thank you for that today, Father. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. You love him today.